Hello, this is Connie Moore, Senior Vice President of Research at Digital Clarity Group. I'm your host today for our podcast. We will be talking with Jill Finger Gibson. Jill is a Principal Analyst with Digital Clarity Group, and she has a specialization in commerce. We will be specifically talking about Pitney Bowes. They have made a couple of very intriguing acquisitions. And so Jill's going to take us through what those acquisitions are all about, and what it means, and what the implications are for the marketplace, for Pitney Bowes customers, and so forth. So welcome, Jill.
Thanks.
Good to have you on. So let's get it kicked off right away. Pitney Bowes has bought a couple of companies that have caught our interest. And one of those is a video, interactive video provider called Real Time Content. And the other one is an e-commerce software firm called Border Free. So, you know, I think of Pitney Bowes, I've been around a while, and I think of Pitney Bowes as a very established, traditional, paper-oriented, mail-oriented company. And I know that they've been changing and changing up their product mix for some time. So what would you say is the rationale behind the acquisitions?
Yeah, good question. And I think that what you said is very much in keeping with their strategy. And Pitney Bowes, you know, although they have this legacy of mail and postage and that sort of in that paper-based world, which is still a sizable business for them, in looking to the future, they really see a huge opportunity and an opportunity for growth within becoming more focused on customer experience and customer experience management within their core competency of post and mail. And also more broadly as part of the world of digital e-commerce and specifically cross-border e-commerce. So they're trying to figure out how they can take what they do really well and then become a bigger player in the areas of growth to come.
And so if you look at real-time content and the whole video angle, which is pretty intriguing and a little out of the box, what would you say they're going to be able to do with this company? How's it going to fit in to the services they either offer or will most likely offer in the future? And why is it an important acquisition?
I think it's interesting to see what they can possibly do with them. From what I understand, they've been working with them prior to the acquisition on issues such as helping with transitioning insurance forms and insurance claim forms. And one of the reasons that they've given for this acquisition is that, you know, that people tend to respond and absorb content better and like it in a more personalized way. If it's not just video and video somebody talking to you, but if you look at this solution, it's actually got a degree of personalization in it. So you can go through, I did the demo of it, you can go through a presentation and then choose where the presentation goes depending on your interest. So it's a type of product that Pitney Bowes can fit into a lot of the businesses that they're already in terms of moving documents and mail, but adding that personalization aspect, which is becoming increasingly important to customer experience.
So I see what you're saying. If they have a focus on insurance, for example, when you have property and casualty insurance and something happens, so whether it's like a car wreck and you the state of the art now is to take photographs. And I remember when that was the great breakthrough.
Right.
But you could, yeah, exactly. You could do a video around the entire vehicle from different angles in one continuous fluid motion. And that may be more interesting, may be more revealing, may certainly cover more degrees of angle. If you were videoing a car, or let's say tornado damage from a home in adjacent properties, and maybe you have several outbuildings on a large property, and you're able to get a really better perspective of what the damage really encompassed. So am I in the ballpark there?
I think so, definitely. I think it's that video that it gives a richer degree of information that's in some ways easier for folks to absorb rather than just having it all written down in a form in various print forms. I think they also take it a step further than that, in that they embed within the video options for really communicating with the person who is viewing the video, in terms of you can skip around, you can focus on specific areas, like say you mentioned the outbuildings, you can skip to, you know, where is the damage greatest, things like that, so that you're not just, it's not a passive experience of watching, you're actually interacting. And I think they're banking on the fact that this is something that their customers will definitely appreciate, that they're not just getting information, but they're able to move through it in a way that's useful for them.
Oh, that's quite interesting then. And then the larger acquisition, or the bigger acquisition, is Borderfree, which is the commerce software. What is the significance of that particular acquisition?
Yeah, so this is a big in terms of monetary, the real-time content, they did not disclose the monetary value, first of all, which indicates that it probably was not it's not a large company, it's a startup company. Borderfree is on a completely different scale, and they paid nearly $400 million for it, and Borderfree had actually had an IPO a few months ago, so this is kind of a bigger fish to swallow. It also has more potential for Pitney Bowes being able to execute on its digital commerce strategy. So Borderfree provide software solutions for retailers that are distributing and selling across international borders, with some of the big headaches that international selling in e-commerce now brings. For example, they include tax and duty calculations. They include currency calculations. They try and make sure that the user isn't burdened with undue fees when they finally get the package. These are all things that are big headaches right now for retailers selling into different countries. So Pitney Bowes' ability to bundle that kind of offer with their existing technology, which they call ClearPath, which already integrates with their warehouse solutions, their logistics solutions, their ability to work on specific packaging and dealing with large volumes of packaging across North America to overseas, has pretty big implications for Pitney Bowes to be able to play more aggressively in cross-border e-commerce.
And I could see also, if you had some sort of quarantine going on or something that was episodic, that kind of blew up out of nowhere and then settled down after 6 weeks or something like that, that Borderfree would be an effective way to codify whatever the rules are about shipments to and from that quarantined area and get it up and running very quickly.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's a big issue as well. There's I think you've hit on that. Sometimes the goods that seem particularly, if a retailer doesn't know any better, they might just think that they can ship certain types of goods overseas to different countries and not realize that they're not permitted, or they need certain types of documentation, et cetera. So this is software that helps them to do that.
Now, they sound like a significant acquisitions, if not in terms of sheer size, in terms of importance to being more in a digital type of commerce world. They don't necessarily sound like the two products play together, but more each one fits into a strategy that Pitney Bowes is executing on now and over time. But what would you say collectively it means to Pitney Bowes' positioning in the marketplace and against its competitors?
Well, it's two things. I mean, I think the real-time content play is more of a customer engagement play against its competitors that are dealing with those specific sort of solutions of moving mass documents around, of getting closer to their customers. And in a way, for digital commerce, it's a similar thing, but it's more the types of competitors they're going up against there are the likes of Federal Express, of UPS, of the equivalents overseas carriers, everything from the Japan Posts of the world, Swiss Posts to DHL, et cetera. And all those players in the last couple of, I'd say, 6 months have been similarly buying companies that can help smooth the way for cross-border commerce. They're buying specifically software companies to add to their logistics and supply chain capabilities. So I think that it means that FedEx, UPS, et cetera, need to look at Pitney Bowes as not just a mail company anymore, but really as it can be a credible competitor when they're going after this growing market of cross-border commerce.
And how strongly positioned are they from a global point of view? Are they mainly a U.S. company that would be looking at commerce for customers that are shipping internationally, or has Pitney Bowes pursued a global expansion strategy so that this fits into the growth strategy from a geographic point of view?
Yeah, good question. They've started with the focus of, as I understand it, of North American companies looking to ship overseas. That being said, they have a lot of international partnerships in place in order to manage their logistics, which they've already had for decades, and they're aggressively going after other new partners and I believe they're building out a hub. They have a hub in the UK already, which tends to be a central focus for a lot of, at least within Western Europe, European commerce. So right now, I think the market is big enough for North America that's their home base. That's the primary focus. But I would not be surprised if they were looking for international expansion opportunities as well.
I see. And I'm going to ask you a question that definitely dates me, but I feel compelled to ask it because, you know, I came of age in the day when Pitney Bowes was about the mailroom and doing postage and getting the mail processed and so forth. And at that time, back then, FedEx made a huge blunder, a very costly blunder, when email was getting off the ground. And they made these special purpose-built standalone scanning stations that were called Zap Mail, and they were going to, you know, be there standing by for people who had hard copy and would take down to the Zap Mail Center and scan and send them electronically to wherever they needed to go, when they'd be received at a Zap Mail location and printed out and handed to the person who was waiting with bated breath to take delivery. Now, I'm sort of facetious here, but that was the concept. And it never worked because technology obviously leapfrogged and just, you know, completely eclipsed this concept. Do you think that Pitney Bowes has such a strong heritage in the paper-based world, the mail processing world, all that sort of backward-looking technology, that they're going to overlook something and not really be able to have an end-to-end strategy that hangs together based upon a lot of acquisitions? Or do you think they have a clear worldview of how digital commerce is going to play out and that they're going to be a hefty contender?
Yeah, I think you're certainly right to emphasize the challenge of, you know, it's a blessing and a curse being a longstanding company that's been around for decades and decades in an area that's not growing, which is the, you know, the mail and the paper-based world. I think they do see this strategy. They've been talking about how they want to become a more a bigger player in the world of commerce. Pretty much since 2013, they've been laying out this strategy, and they've been ramping up the both the sales teams and the marketing teams internally, and also the product development to be able to, you know, more effectively address this. I think probably their challenge will be, I think, as you pointed out, overcoming that, you know, they're seen as a legacy business and being able to show that they can adapt. And I think that's probably the big challenge for the next couple of months that folks need to watch for. Well, how are they integrating these companies? How is Borderfree adding to their clear existing ClearPath product? And what are they doing better now that they couldn't do before? I think the next couple of months, it's going to be, I think the acquisition closes end of Q2, after which, if it, you know, definitely goes through, they'll be able to do that. So that's probably a challenge. And this is something I'm not sure if a lot of their legacy growth grew through acquisition, or what their history is of growing through acquisition, but buying software companies is definitely, as you know very well, very different from buying, you know, capital intensive, types of industries. So I think, well, it's still kind of, the jury is out as to, I think they're on the right path and it was a good move, but we'll have to see how they can actually integrate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to watch as well how prospects and customers receive it and how competitors respond to it, because it's a market that's fast moving and there are a lot of companies coming from different angles that want to play in this very important space. So we'll have to have you back on to take a look at it after some time goes by, and we'll have a progress report to see how it turns out. But we'll leave it here for today. And thank you, Jill. I appreciate it so much that you were able to join us. And people, if they have questions, can be in contact with you, correct?
That's right. Yeah, thanks, Connie. So I'm at jfgibson@digitalclaritygroup.com, and happy to discuss it and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Excellent. So you are listening to podcasts by Digital Clarity Group. We thank you for joining us and look forward to the next time.
You have been listening to podcasts by Digital Clarity Group. Digital Clarity Group provides research, consulting, events, and advisory services to help business leaders navigate the digital transformation. For other podcasts or more information, please visit our website at www.digitalclaritygroup.com.